Amen. You can be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that talks about one day, but we have so much to rejoice today for what we have today. So much to rejoice because we realize today is a real, I think every day is a special day with the Lord because He's for us and not against us. We can rejoice in those things. That whole concept of being with Jesus every single day is something that we have to continually go back to. I want to share with you a few things about baptism this morning because we have quite a number of people who are getting baptized this evening, and that's such an important aspect in a Christian's life. Tonight probably will not share very much about it because we've been kind of teaching you a little bit, but probably will share a little bit. But I want to just mention a couple of things concerning that go along with baptism and why we get baptized and the importance of making that deeper transition into the Christian faith as we take a hold of these areas of around baptism. There's a couple of things that I want us to key in on and not take lightly. First of all, let me say this. There are so many things happening around the world today that it's just, if you begin to, it could bombard your head with all kinds of things. And I can see where in the end days, the Bible talks about men trying to take their lives because there's so much confusion out there. There's so much confusion, and there doesn't seem to be any standard. And the church is, in many cases, unfortunately, it has gotten itself into a place where there doesn't seem to be too many boundaries that are laid out there pretty good. The boundaries have been distorted. The boundaries have been weak. In other words, they're not clear, and people are living certain ways. I wonder, is it okay as a Christian to do this? I wonder, is it okay to do that? And they're not knowing and really having an understanding about the very principles of faith. But as we share some of the things about concerning the Word of God, it's so important for us to recognize that we do have a standard to live by. I mean, there's so many areas that when you look at the Middle East and see what's happening there, and there are those who are prophesying that this is the beginning of the end time events, and we hear about earthquakes, and certainly there are. We just seen in Japan a great earthquake. There's others predicted in California and so forth. And these are all very real, but we can't just, lose heart over these things. We have to be able to trust in the Lord with all of our heart in every situation. And so when we hear about these things, we have to ask the Lord, what are you saying, dear God? What are you saying at this particular season? And we have to be able to discern together what God is saying. Because many times God speaks to the prophets to give us a signal of, in some cases, change directions. You see, folks, there are so many pressures in the world today that we are confused, and I think sometimes even people who have prophetic giftings are confused in hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm not speaking against prophetic giftings. I'm saying we're simply in a time where we have to use discernment, being able to hear and understand what God is saying. Let me read this scripture to you in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Of course, Acts chapter 2 speaks about when the Holy Spirit came upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit came upon the church and set it apart. And the Bible talks about when He came, that initial incoming, there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came and was over the disciples as tongues of fire. And the Bible says they all spoke in other tongues, and that was an awesome experience of the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing the church in His presence. And in Acts chapter 2:38, Peter said, they asked Peter, of course, what are we going to do? And he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so we see here that repentance and baptism seems to be connected there. There seems to be a connection between repentance and baptism. In other words, that there might be a vocal statement of faith and a repenting, turning from God, and then there might be a visible sign that we are actually doing when we go through the waters of baptism, declaring that we are yielding or leaning on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and that we are declaring that we will serve Him. And so there seems to be a connection here. But look at verse 41 there in Acts chapter 2. Then those who gladly received the word, This is one area that we need to grab a hold of when it comes to going through the waters of baptism. It says that they received the word. Received the word there means that they took the word and decided that they're going to live by the word. They're not going to just go through the waters of baptism, but they received the word first and then they went through the waters of baptism. And they knew from receiving the word, they knew that this was going to call them to a certain pattern of life, if you will. A way of life serving God. You know, Pastor Andrew was in Nepal recently, a few months ago, and he was telling me there that when they have baptisms, that's what they were there. He was talking to some other ministers, and when they have baptisms there, they don't only say, when you go through the waters of baptism, they don't only say, you know, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They say a lot more than that. They say, are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to lose your family? Are you willing to lose even your life to make this declaration? Because it will probably cost you a number of these things that are mentioned. Puts baptism on a whole new level, doesn't it? And yet they still go through the waters of baptism. And some lose their jobs, and some lose their family, and some lose their lives. You know, we don't have that persecution here. But it is, once you make a statement of faith of going through the waters of baptism, you know, everybody sees you in the natural, and everybody sees you in the supernatural too. And so we're declaring that we are following the word of the Lord when we go through the waters of baptism. It says, those who gladly received the word were baptized. In other words, they were excited when they heard the word. What do you think that word was that got them excited? What do you think that word was that they heard that got them so excited? They gladly received the word. What word was it? To me, it would be, here was a people who were, they were involved in a works religion, the law, and suddenly, and they knew they couldn't keep the law in order to gain their salvation. Suddenly, they found out a way to receive salvation that was based on grace. And they gladly received that. They were thrilled that they could be saved outside the law. They were thrilled that there was a way through Jesus Christ that His blood, which was based on the law, would cleanse them from all sin. So they gladly received that. I would to God that we as Christians today would get a joy about us when we think about the very fact that we're saved and we don't have to die and go to hell. I don't have any problem getting into a spirit of joy because all I got to do is think about I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm saved. I get to go to heaven. So these people gladly received the word. In Acts chapter 8, verse 6, it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Philip was an evangelist, and he was going around preaching. And they were in one accord. They heeded the things spoken by Philip. Now we talk about, you know, baptism and coming into one accord, it helps us. Going through the waters of baptism helps us to come into one accord with the rest of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is supposed to have gone through the waters of baptism as believers. We're supposed to have gone through obeying the commands of the Scriptures. We repent and are baptized. So we join in with the rest of those who believe that baptism is a very important place in our faith. It has a position in our lives as Christians. So it brings us into a greater place of being in one accord. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles. For unclean spirits, this is Acts chapter 8, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Now here the people heard what Philip was saying. They seen with their eyes. They seen the miraculous. And there was great joy in the city. They were in one accord. They agreed that these things were of God. I believe that God is taking us to a place as a church that we're going to begin, that there is going to come a time when there's signs and wonders are going to come in such a measure, people are not going to have to question whether, is this God? Does this fit? It's just going to be a Holy Ghost atmosphere where the Lord will begin to actually, in some ways, prune. Because there will be signs and wonders come about in, I believe, in our day, where there'll be some who will reject that, and in doing so, rejecting that it's God, rejecting that the Holy Spirit could do that, because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Lord will prune them out of the midst of the church. Pruning is always hurtful, but it's done to take us to a higher level, to a deeper growth. And the Lord will do that within His body. Because remember, He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. In other words, He's not going to bring a church to Himself where there's going to be one or two who got in, they snuck in. That's not going to be the way it is. I mean, He's bringing a body to Himself that have been washed by the blood of Jesus, that they are without spot or wrinkle. They went through the waters of baptism, that they have declared that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they're willing to die for it. That's what it really means to be a Christian. Going through the waters of baptism is another expression of our dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked a little bit, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the couple of words that were used in the Greek for baptism. And one, we talked about a pickle, about a person making pickle, and the one word was used that you just dipped it in and took it back, or you dipped it in boiling water, cleaning it. And the word that was used for baptism by submersion was to take the pickle and put it in the solution of vinegar and so forth, and so it would penetrate that pickle and it would cause a permanent change. All of you who are being baptized tonight, I want you now to believe God tonight that you are entering into a permanent change, that there'll be a shift at this time in your life. There'll be a shift in your Christian experience, that you will have gone deeper into the things of the Holy Spirit, and that by going through the waters of baptism, you're opening yourself up to new ways. You're saying, Lord, I want my life to totally die, that I might be risen in Christ, that Christ would consume every part of my being. And so I hope you're coming to get pickled tonight. Pickled real good, so that there will be a permanent change. A real change, like the vegetable in the pickle. Now, just let me share a couple of things again concerning being in one accord, because I want us to think about the benefits of one accord. You know, most of the time, we will never go to purchase something unless we recognize the benefits of it. We'll never pay a price for something unless we recognize the benefits of what we're getting. And I want us to read just a couple of little scriptures looking at the benefits of the body of Christ, you and I coming into one accord. Now, this is a demonstration or a measuring stick, if you will, to find out whether we're in one accord or not. We have a ways to go in that, by the way. And it has nothing to do with, I don't like you, so we're not in one accord. It has everything to do with the Lord melting us together, taking the supply of the Spirit of Jesus that each one of us carries and pouring it all together, and the demonstration of that corporate anointing will begin to influence not only us but those around us in a powerful, powerful way. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that they were in one accord. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, 1. In Acts chapter 4, verse 6, it says, so they continued daily with one accord. And verse 47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. One accordness can bring people to salvation. The church being in one accord can be the vehicle that will bring your loved ones to Christ. The body of believers functioning in one accord can present such an environment that the Holy Spirit will work in such a way that our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones can come to Jesus. So how important it is to come together in one accord. How important it is to be a people that are interested in being one with another the way Jesus and the Father are one with another. We must be the answer to Jesus' prayer. I just want you to think about this for a minute. Do you want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer? Do you want to be involved? Do you want to be a people who is the answer to Jesus' prayer when He prayed, Father, I pray that they might be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. Do you want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer? He said, I pray all us as a people that we might be one in the same fashion as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I see my Father saying. Therefore, if we are coming into oneness together, we will be involved in doing a similar thing, advancing the kingdom of God one with another, and we'll appreciate one another, and we'll say, speak things out in one accord. You know, I believe that just as in the book of Genesis, when we read about the story about Babel, when they were building the Tower of Babel, and God didn't like what they were doing, it was going against him, so he went down and confused the languages. And I believe that God is going to bring us back together in such a way that we're going to begin speaking the same thing to God. Maybe we might be using different languages, but we'll be saying the same thing. We'll have one sound. We'll be thirsting for God together. We'll be in one accord. So this can be an avenue of salvation, coming into one accord. And let me just read a few things concerning what the Scripture says to us about being in one accord, or how we're to treat one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. So we look at one another, and we are to be kind, we are to be tender-hearted, we are to be forgiving. In Romans 12:10, we are to be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So when we're kind to one another, that when we're given preference to one another, that when we are affectionate toward one another, we are actually serving the Lord. This is part of our service to the Lord, serving His body. Jesus said in John chapter 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:35 says, By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say, Lord, please give us the grace that we need to show love one to another. Please give us that grace that we can express love to one another. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. John 17:21, that they all might be one, Father, as you are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, that unity here speaks to us about a salvation message, that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, if we can come together as Jesus and the Father are one, and we're together in Him, the world will begin to believe. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Isn't that interesting? They were of one heart and one soul. In other words, they really were a people who had come together, and they had one mind, one purpose. They were set doing really one thing, and that's advancing the kingdom. Now, here's a result of the people coming together. Acts chapter 5. Read verse 12 from the New American Standard. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portal. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least a shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Glory to God. They were all being healed. This is an outflow of a body of people who have come together. Now I pray that many of you here are going through the waters of baptism, a number of you are going to watch the baptism tonight, we're going to come and be around with you. Why? Because you are a part of the body, and to see another member of the body of Christ going through the water of baptism, see another family member, it's important to us. It's important that you would do that, that you would make that statement of faith, because we know that as you go through the waters of baptism, you are strengthened, and if you are strengthened, then we're strengthened. Because you're a part of us, we're a part of you. So we come with you and we celebrate the very fact that you want to go through the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. It's a glorious thing. Glory to God. And we celebrate with you. We're one with another. It's another demonstration of unity. It's another demonstration of oneness that we come together. Now, I forget, I think it was Lorette that mentioned in the prayer, I never thought of this before, but she mentioned in the prayer room this morning, she mentioned about the Apostle Peter, the scripture we just read, about his shadow falling on the sick and they became healed. Relating this to what's happening in Ottawa with the National House of Prayer and what things are taking place, you know, when Christians walk into that place, into the house up there, they carry the presence of Jesus. So the very shadow of them can bring a government into line. The very shadow of Christian believers who have standing for the kingdom of God, walking in righteousness, when they come in contact with other individuals, their very shadow can cause conviction to come for the MPs to realize that one day they're going to give an account before God. When we go out into the communities, what we carry can affect our communities. What we carry can make a difference. Our shadow, if you will. What I'm saying is our anointing. Our anointing will. The anointing that is in us. You know, I remember Brother Kenneth Hagin talking about different times when he would minister where the anointing would be upon him in different ways and in different degrees. And sometimes he would tell the people to all come up and he'd say, I can extend the anointing, he said, about this far. And at that particular time. And I think that's kind of interesting, you know that? Because he was just simply talking about an influence that can go from him when the Spirit of God is on him, that can influence those around him. And so you and I, when we go into the workplace, when we go into talk to political leaders and when we're involved in community, that presence that we carry can have an influence. But remember, it's all done by faith. See, the reason why I'm saying this is that you will begin to have faith for that. When you go out, you'll begin to realize, I'm walking into this place. It may even be dark right now, but the presence of God is with me and the influence that is on me is going to influence my environment. And it will convict when conviction is needed. It can bring joy where joy is needed. But we need a whole lot more of the conviction of God demonstrating, moving from us into the world around us. And that'll happen if we allow ourselves to be convicted at certain times. When we need that conviction. So this one accordness, this communion, this oneness, create an environment for signs and wonders, for miracles to take place. Now in the Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, they were about to dedicate the temple of the Lord in the Old Testament. And it said, indeed it came to pass, 2 Chronicles 5, 13, indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now there was hundreds of people here. There was at least 120 just musical people who played musical instruments in this particular scripture. And when it says when they all came into one accord, When a sound came, I'm convinced that, you know, they were practicing and they were trying to come in one accord. And they did all that they could. But when they came at this particular time and the Spirit of God came upon all these people who were playing instruments, there was a different sound that came. And within that sound came the presence of the Lord and filled the whole temple, where the people could not even minister because of the heaviness of the weight of the glory of the Lord. God, do it again in our day. Bring us to that place of oneness, where we can we'll see the power of God come in such a way that the presence of the Lord will come, that anybody that needs healing will be healed instantly. That anybody that needs delivered will be deliverance will come to them instantly. That the glory of the Lord will fall upon His church. I'm believing God for that. I hope you are too. I hope you are setting your faith for believing God that He's going to come in a powerful way, that He will change our lives completely. I love my life. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful, but I want to change. I want to go deeper into the things of God. I want to come into the church doors, you know, not only once in a while where you sense the presence of God, but come through and have to fall halfway up because the presence of God is so heavy. The glory of the Lord desires to come in amongst us, and our unity will draw the environment of heaven. It will draw the presence of the Lord when you and I begin to care about one another so much. We care about one another in the same way we care about our own household. We speak into one another's lives. We pray for one another, that we're kind to one another, that we prefer one another, because we want to see the glory of God come in an ever-increasing fashion. Hallelujah. And we'll demonstrate that even as we come tonight. As we come tonight, have an expectancy. The glory of God could fill this place tonight like He has never before. I mean, we've seen Him come and do some pretty awesome things here. I want to see His presence come in such a way that some of the things that we shouldn't be doing, that when we leave this place, we won't ever do them again. We'll totally leave them. I was talking to a pastor last week, and he was a cocaine dealer before he got saved. And of course, he was a cocaine addict. And when he got saved, everything left. He had no withdrawals. The glory of God came on the inside of him and absolutely changed his life forever. Now he's declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what God did for him. And you know, it happens that way sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. But the glory of God will always change us. God will always make a change in our lives. It may be physical in some cases. In some cases, it may be emotional or spiritual. But He will always change our lives. The glory of God will always change our lives. And when He comes as a seed. He comes in seed form. Do you know that? He comes in seed form. And then He looks over to you and say, what are you going to do with that seed that has been planted in your life? What are you going to do with the seed of the Word of God that has been impregnated into your life? You know, when the angel came to Mary the angel spoke to her and said that the seed of the Holy Spirit will come in you and the Christ child will be born. The seed went in and it germinated and it came to life 9 months later. Well, I'm telling you folks, the Holy Spirit, God comes in as a seed. And then He says, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to nurture that seed? Are you going to care for that? Are you going to treat it in high esteem? Are you going to pray over that to allow it to come to fruition so that you can be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth? I want to be one. Hope you do too. Stand with me, please.